You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
This is the Porpoise Pod with your hosts, Brendan Tobin and Alejandro Solano.
Porpoise Pod swimming on here, Tobin and Solana, as we are getting ready for week three of the Miami Dolphins season as they welcome in the Buffalo Bills to Hard Rock Stadium Sunday at 1 o'clock. So everybody tuning in, I hope you're getting all nice and ready for the game, whether you are at Hard Rock Stadium right now tailgating, on your way to Hard Rock Stadium right now tailgating, or if you are just getting ready, ramped up, going into the weekend, whatever it may be, we are hyped for it. We know you guys are too. Solana, what has the Bills' dominance looked like last year against Miami? What has this been? This has been a nightmare game for him last year because Tua Tagovailoa had his ribs broken, and all that season of hope we were looking forward to his first real year as the starter. You know, no more Ryan Fitzpatrick. This was Tua's team, even with all the Deshaun Watson stuff that was surrounding him. There were plenty of people that wanted just Tua because, you know, the controversy of Deshaun Watson was starting around, and plenty of people just wanted to see the whole thing with Tua through, and then boom, like, was it second drive of the game, broken ribs, and, you know, the season for him, this big year in front of him was kind of thrown off the tracks.
Yeah, so, I mean, you look at week two, and obviously you can kind of throw that game out because of the way that it transpired with Tua. He gets banged up, misses the next couple games, but I was looking more at the game in Buffalo. I think it was October 30th, like, or it might have even been on Halloween or whatever. I remember because I went to the booth in a costume, and I was the only one in the press box in a costume.
You went to the Buffalo Bills game in costume?
In costume.
What did you go as?
Granny Wolf.
What?
So I wore like my suit or whatever that I always wear, but I took my it's Halloween. Like, why
you
wouldn't...
You went to the Bills game dressed as Granny Wolf, like, from Little Red Riding Hood?
Hell yeah, with a tail and everything and a dress.
What?
Why? It's Halloween. I mean, what? Broadcasters are too good for Halloween now?
I just think it's NFL. It's buttoned up. It's the no fun league. You
it's
showed
Halloween.
Up dressed as a Grandma Wolf?
I mean, I'm trying to make a little difference in the NFL.
What
then.
Were the comments of this when they showed you, when you showed up?
Oh, I mean, I took it off immediately. I kept, like,
too much shame.
I kept the headgear on in the booth because I thought it was funny.
Who were you most embarrassed? Like, was it Marino? Like, who was the person you were most embarrassed by seeing you in this attire?
Oh, it was Jimmy Cephalo, there's no doubt. I mean, he already, you know, he looked at me different ever since that day. He's looked at me different, a little different ever since that day.
Because I thought this guy was a buttoned-up professional.
And there I was in a dress.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I mean, what? We're too good for Halloween now. I don't get
what
we're doing.
We're too good
there.
For Halloween. I just think it's, you know, it's one of those. I don't know if Halloween is there for you to enjoy at that particular time, especially with, you know, Jimmy Cephalo, Joe Rose. Guy's been in the business for a long time, and they see you walking in. Listen, I'm not above silly sauce. You know that. I love me some fun. I just don't know, you know, time and place.
So you wouldn't show up to like the Heat locker room on Christmas Day?
No.
In a costume?
With like an ugly sweater? No. I don't think so. Maybe an ugly sweater.
Let's see. Who do they play? We're at Detroit the 30th this year. I'm going in costume again.
You're going in costume? But you're going to be as a fan. Like, don't you have season tickets?
Oh, no. I'm talking about Dolphins at Lions October 30th this year. I'm going in costume.
You think you should show up as Man Campbell?
Yeah.
You should show up with one ass cheek and three toes.
So, going back to that game, the final score of that game was 26-11. Obviously doesn't seem too close, right? You lose by whatever that is, 15 points. But when you really break down that game, it's Tua coming back against the Bills after he was hurt. The Dolphins are in the midst of this losing streak. And at one point of the game, at halftime, you're losing 6-3. Mm-hmm. Things aren't going your way. And at one point in the game, you're down 10-3 only in the third quarter. So to start the fourth, you're down 10-3. Buffalo scores a quick touchdown, but the Dolphins had opportunities all game to score. Do you remember on multiple drives, the Dolphins end up scoring a touchdown. They're down 17-11. They have a chance. They're in the Bills' red zone thanks to a turnover. Mm-hmm. And I think it was Mike Gesicki. There's confusion on the offensive line. He moves in motion. Tua hikes the ball in a shotgun. And it like hits Mike Gesicki as he's running
in motion. I do remember that, actually.
And it happened more than once. I don't remember who else it hit. It might have hit a running back, or Tua was trying to talk to a running back off. I don't remember exactly the way it transpired, but multiple times there was confusion. The Dolphins had opportunities in that game to convert, and they kind of just shot themselves in the foot. So it leads me back to what we talked about on the last podcast, what everybody's kind of saying, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Dolphins are
going. Dropped them to 1-7 at that point, too.
Right,
so
right.
So they were in a free fall.
They needed that win. And you know what the narratives have been. Dolphins can't win a game in cold weather. It was pretty chilly that day. Tua can't throw the ball in cold weather. And he didn't look great by any stretch of the imagination, right? Like the Tua we saw in the fourth quarter, you wouldn't even recognize the other Tua.
Yeah, and what was it? So he played, was it this game? And then was the next one in London?
Right,
or
right.
Something like that? Or was it the week before London? And then they had, I think, the Ravens game before that. Or right into that. So it went.
They played the Falcons before that.
So Tua played this game, and then apparently he got hurt in practice because he played. Brissett played the next game against the Texans. I don't know if Tua got hurt in this one or if it was in practice. I forget which one it was. But then, so yeah, he like had just come back from injury a few games beforehand. Dolphins are still in a losing streak, and then he doesn't play the next week.
Yeah, but really, my point here is that even against the Buffalo Bills last year, who were clearly the better team,
mm-hmm.
on the road in Buffalo in cold weather, and the Dolphins kind of kept shooting themselves in the foot, doing everything that they shouldn't have been doing, they were still in that game. And it wasn't until later in the game, Buffalo ends up scoring the final touchdown. Josh Allen and Christian Wilkins kind of get into it. But the Dolphins were in this game. So I was looking at the YouTube condensed version of the game, and I'm saying, like, man, this version of Tua, this Dolphins offense in those moments doesn't make those mistakes, and they're able to capitalize and stay in the game with Buffalo, which couldn't happen last year. So it kind of gave me this sense of not relief, but almost like this sense of optimism going into Sunday, where throw whatever you have at us, Buffalo. This is not the Dolphins from last year. This is not the Dolphins from 2020. This is a different offense.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Yeah, it's. I think all of it. I mean, just looking at the line, the idea that they don't have Jesse Davis out there, I think is like amazing. You know, so that already helps Tua. But this is definitely a team that's much more explosive. And like you talk about looking back at the old guys, like, you know, Miles Gaskin, Savon Ahmed. That one of them doesn't play now. One of them is the third string running back. You know, the weapons of Devontae Parker was the leading receiver in that game. He's gone. Mike Gesicki certainly doesn't have that role in the offense anymore. And Jalen Waddle, because he has Tyreek Hill next to him, is a much more explosive threat. You're talking about the guys right now. They lead their first and third right now in the league in receiving yards. Stephon Diggs is number two. So you're talking about a lot of explosiveness that is going to be on the field and on display.